go ahead and start opening your Bibles to Genesis 49. And for the past few months now, we've been rejoicing in these bridal highlights that have been seen through the life of our precious brother Joseph. And what a witness of the faithfulness of God, and what a witness of a life, praise the Lord, that things didn't necessarily turn out the way maybe he thought in the natural. But oh my, what God showed him in the spiritual, he brought those things to pass. Praise God. But the testimony that is so true and real in Joseph's life was God gracing his life with a vision of ruling and reigning. Isn't that something? How the Lord picked him out. He knew that he would receive it. See, I'll have grace upon whom I'll have grace. See, you're hearing the ruling and reigning message. Praise God. He's given you a vision. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, you can get excited. It's okay even on a Wednesday night. And you can say, thank you, Jesus, for this. I mean, really, I thank God. There's a quickening in this. You know, we're not just going through motions and reading through allegories and metaphors. No, we're reading about the testimony of the Lord and what they wrote for us. They wrote these things for us. This is Christ's word. This was his hidden mystery. These were the hidden deep things that were sitting there all along from ages past that he knew that he would bring out, just as he did to Joseph's life. He showed that precious man because he knew he'd receive it. I want you to rule and reign. Praise God. And I get that. I take that. But immediately after that, what happened? Suffering. Amen. If you're going to reign with me, you're going to have to suffer with me. If you want to be glorified together with me, there's a requirement. We'll suffer together. And as we know the Word of God and receive the Word of God, even though it hurts, even though it's not joyous, it's grievous, there's a sweetness about it. Yes, there is, isn't there? There's a sweetness when you know and are quickened in heart because of the Word of God, not because of your good attitude. Because you get rid of that, because a lot of times you need to have a bad attitude and be quickened by the Word of God. and I think you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you can get down upon yourself, but you can see the Word of God and you can say, thank you, Jesus. I love being high on a mountaintop, don't get me wrong. But I thank the Lord that I can always trust in him, that he never leaves me nor forsakes me. That it's always his faithfulness that I want to have faith in. And it never disappoints me because he's forever faithful. And I thank God for that. But see, what happened is even though he suffered, the faithfulness of God brought forth the glory that shall be revealed in you. It wasn't something that was going to be revealed to Joseph. I love this. It was revealed in Joseph. Joseph became the ruler. He didn't just get to see ruling and reigning. He was the ruling and reigning. And I thank God for that. And we know and have rejoiced much of our lives, and I thank God that this life of Joseph is such a beautiful, perfect type of Christ. Amen. But I'm telling you what, there's a rib portion ruling, reigning in Christ that takes that place with Christ. And I thank God that he's witnessing through this duality of the oneness in him of that company that will reign with him. And I thank God for it. Now, tonight and next week, I believe, will be the last, if the Lord tarry, will be the last studies we'll have. But in Joseph for a while. But tonight and next week, we're going into the eternal blessings that were given to Joseph. We saw it in his life, but now we're going to see the inheritance, the eternal inheritance that was given to him. And I think we'll see that it's even a deeper meaning and revelation to us of our inheritance and truly the better thing. In Ezekiel, it says it so sweetly in Ezekiel 47:13, and I just say this quickly, Joseph shall have two portions. And it's true. Joseph has two portions. Praise God. As we start this tonight in this 49th chapter, what this is Jacob, he's getting ready to go see the Lord. And his prophetic blessing to each one of his sons, each one of the tribes. And as you read through the 49th chapter, you're going to see that there's one to each one of the sons. And usually, I think with pretty much each and every one of them, it's just one or two verses. And not that one or two verses isn't a great blessing, it is. But you get to Joseph, as we're going to get to tonight. It's immense. It's lengthy. It's meaty. It's a double portion. So without further ado, let's go ahead and read from the 22nd verse of chapter 49 of Genesis. And it says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors. Unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills, they shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Tell you what, I think Joseph was pretty thrilled to hear that from his daddy. I think Joseph was saying, well, I was expecting something, but my, oh my, as each verse came along, as each thing his dad told him, it just got better and better and better and better. So let's begin with verse 22 tonight. He is a fruitful bough. I just love that. Now, a bough can be a tree, but a bough mainly, its first meaning and the majority of its meaning, it means a son. And I thank God that as we're reading here, we can see that this speaks of Christ's full reigning, his full inheritance. But as I just mentioned, we rejoice in the hidden rib in him, that we too, in Christ in us, the hope of glory will reign too. Amen? That's exactly what the Lord is opening up. See, not only was Christ separated out to reign, see, he was separated out from his brethren, absolutely, to reign. We understand that. But you know what? We are too. And the bride is a vessel shut up for the master's use. And you know what's very interesting here? I believe I've read this a few times in a few different ways in the New Testament. He says that everything that he is going to rule and reign over, the very glory of him, he's going to share it all completely with her. Praise God. So I believe I can say with absolute assurance of faith in believing him, what's, as he's saying to you and saying to me, what's mine is yours. Praise God. So do you want it? Do you want it? See, it's just like Esther. You know, she came in there, thank the Lord, and she was encouraged. She was coming in for something, and I'll tell you, that king was coming in for something else. She was wanting this, and I want to serve the Lord and all this. Honey, I want to share everything with you. Praise God. And I know the first time I heard him tell me that, I was surprised too. But now, praise God, in believing him, we share this together even now. We talk about this through the scriptures and prayer. And I thank God it is that real to us who believe. The Word of God says in the Song of Solomon, think of this. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one. It said that his love for her exceeded all the other women. And I believe by the grace of God, here she is. And here's why the Lord speaks this to us. So it'll come quick. And there's some wonderful meanings that are hidden in these things. It says that, what we're going to see here is what branches out of him. See, as it speaks about these branches that come out of him by this well. It's full inheritance. And I was thanking the Lord. I said, you know, Lord, as you bring me into these things, it's almost like I have to hold on to my heart because it's going to burst. I think you'll understand what I'm talking about. So let's get back to the fruitful son. So what we have here is Joseph is a fruitful bough. Okay? He's a fruitful son. And I thank God. And where is he by? He's by a well. Amen? Whose branches? Now get this. The word branches means a company of daughters. Isn't that something? I mean, I'm telling you, this is what these things interpret in the Hebrew. So you have a fruitful son by a well whose fruitful daughters, praise God, are by a well that run, which means to march over a wall. So if you really put all this together, what you have is you have this company of daughters that are by a well and march over a wall. I think I just hear overcomer all over that, don't you? I mean, I thank the Lord. But where does it come from? It comes out of that Joseph. It comes out of, praise God, that ruling and reigning one. And I thank the Lord. We know this is from the headship of us. It's Christ. The full overcomer company, which is the bride. It all pours out from him, the well, the word of God. That has overcomer written all over it. You move to verse 23, and what happens when God calls you out like that? We're right back in the story again. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. Well, you know what? If you're going to reign, you're going to suffer. Amen. As you go into this more and more, and this word becomes revealed to you, these will be sufferings that will be so deep and intent to the heart, because they'll be Christ's personal sufferings. You'll suffer with him and along with him. There'll be things that grieve you. The things that grieve me the most are when people that I love so much don't take the truth. Amen. Fight against the truth. Stir up strife against the truth. Don't want to settle down. Want to get into meaningless things and go after the enemy lead you down rabbit holes, as opposed to be in the mind. I'm talking, and in the mine, M-I-N-E, of that mother load of Christ. I thank the Lord. I don't want to have itching ears for anything else but the word of God. I ask the Lord, protect me. Lord, give me that desire. I want to hear your truth. I want to hear more of your truth. I want to stay with Paul's gospel. God willing, Sunday night, the Lord's had me just dancing all over 1 Timothy chapter 2 about him telling Timothy, Paul telling Timothy, Timothy, you stay in the truth, son. You stay with what I've told you. And don't you go anywhere else. You start going other places, honey, and you're just going to get away from this. It's going to cause confusion. And it's going to lead you away from the truth. I appreciated Paul's heart. He knew what he had. He was confident in the revelation of what Christ gave to him. And he loved it. He embraced it. It was his first love. And he wanted to pass that on. And the way we pass that on, by the grace of God, the best way we can, stand in it for yourself. Stand in it. Dwell in it. By the grace of God, be a testimony of, for me and my house will serve the Lord. And I love it in Paul's gospel. Praise the Lord. So this is that encouragement right there. So as we see, we know we're going to suffer if we're going to inherit with him. We know that the Shulamite, as she finally went after him, she got beat up by the watchman. Amen. She was even verbally abused and discouraged by who? The daughters of Jerusalem. Those were her sisters in Christ, if you will, in that encouragement. They didn't get it. A lot of times when a Christian doesn't get it, they become insulting. They want you to stay at, and my dad always say that, you know, the ones you are around, they'll want you most of the time just to stay to that level. You got to go on. You got to seek those out. I thank the Lord for ones of mutual faith. You encourage me. Not only are we here, it's because of the headship. We're moving. We're growing. You know, it's expanding, and it's increasing at an increasing rate. And I thank God how He does that. We're all together lovely in Him. But now, even though the archers are after us, we're grieved, we're shot. Hallelujah. Even though we're hated, here it is, verse 24. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. This is so beautiful because it is, but his bow. His bow abode in strength. Now this bow does speak of a bow and arrows. But this bow also is the rainbow. And I love that. How did we start? How did we really begin our study of Joseph? Amen. It was the coat of many colors, the rainbow, the glory that was given to him. And why was it given? He was the father of his old age, and he loved him more than the rest. It's just the way it was. I'll have grace upon whom I'll have grace. You're the sons of his old age. Get this. Receive this. Here we are. We're almost at the time of the coming of the Lord. Praise God. It's to us. And he's given us this. He's given us the coat of many colors. He's given us Paul's gospel. He's given us this bridal message. Praise God. And the reason Joseph overcame is because why? It was because the glory, that coat, that rainbow, was his strength. Not him, not anything else, but the message that was given to him. That coat spoke of the vision that was given to him. The ruling and reigning glory that, Joseph, you'll have this with me, if you'll believe it. That's your strength. And that's the joy of the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Do you understand that? That glory message, the bridal message, is the joy of the Lord. The bride is his joy. And if the joy of the Lord is your strength, let me tell you something. You'll rule and reign just like Joseph. Praise God. Now, and we're just beginning. Praise the Lord. So this coat, this glory that was given to him, to us, it's our crown. Amen? As the Word of God says, and I thank the Lord as God witnessed to us, and I believe this, because we receive the message of the Philadelphia church. Amen. You see yourself in one of the seven churches in Revelation. You're there somewhere. By the grace of God, the message that's preached here is one. One, and that's the Philadelphia church. Because we're looking and living and loving the appearing of the Lord. Paul's message is always the Philadelphia church. Praise God. Now, in that, it says, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. See, they took that robe off of Joseph, but they never took the robe off of Joseph. Do you understand that? He ruled and reigned. We saw that all the way along, didn't he? He ruled and reigned as a servant. He ruled and reigned as a prisoner. And he ruled and reigned over Egypt. And praise be to God for eternity to come. He's got a place of ruling and reigning. And I thank God for that. And we take that, see, because this is our message. But brothers and sisters, this is this crown that we have. And we thank God that this message that he's given to us, it is a better thing. And it's our strength, and it's his divine love for us. And I thank God that it's his divine love for us that is our strength. Amen? Isn't that your strength? It better be. And especially when things kind of all your wheels fell off. But I thank God his love for me is still my strength. His love for me is still my crown. His love for me causes me to hold that fast. It's not my love for him. It's his love for me. His love message for me. I receive that. I believe him. And I thank God as he says, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. I trust him completely to perform the good work which he's begun in me. The same good work he's begun in you. So we thank the Lord for this encouragement that he overflows with because he loves us. Now notice it says that his arms and his hands. I love that there, don't you? It says, but how the bow abode in strength and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. We're going to read, and you're going to hear that all the time, the hands of God. We're his workmanship. Isn't that wonderful? You know, and I thank God he makes my hands to war. I thank God he lifts my hands in praise. I thank the Lord for all of those things that he does in my life. But I thank the Lord it's because his hand's upon me. I thank the Lord that we're his workmanship, and those created in Christ Jesus, and those before ordained good works that we should walk therein. He's created everything. Everything. And he didn't just speak it. His hands They're all over me. He touching me all the time. And I love him. And he's gorgeous. And I thank God that we know that. But see, I love this. He performs this. And he strengthens our hands. He causes us at times to break steel bands. He changes these arms sometimes, even into wings, praise the Lord. And I think that's what he's doing. But as Paul said best, it's in my infirmity that I've been made strong. It's in my infirmity. And that's the beauty of the hand of the Lord, is when you find out that you find his strength when you're weak. You find his strength and that power of Christ that rests upon you. So beautiful when he has you in appointment with the lion's den or the fiery furnace. So don't think that's strange. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know him. And you're going to really know him when you have no strength. That's when you know him. I can testify to that. I know you can too. But that's when we can really testify of knowing the strength of the Lord. So, we thank God. How much is in here? So let's go on over to verse 25. And it even gets more overwhelming because it gets more perfect in line with Paul's gospel. So in 25 it says, even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above. Oh my, here we go. Let's turn on over to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. We're right there, aren't we? So he blesses you. Isn't that something? And it's so sweet. He helps you. I like getting help. That's why I need to be at the throne of grace. Amen? Praise God. We need to obtain mercy. Amen. And so we thank God for this. But there's that first blessing right there. It's the blessings of the heavens above. Now, look at how this parallels as we come along through here. In Ephesians 1:3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. See, not someday, but this is done. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's all. I mean, that's everything. And I so love that all spiritual blessings. It speaks of preparing a place. See, he's already got it in mind. He has it in heart. It's all being prepared. And I thank the Lord that he's preparing us to take it. And we've heard the expression that, you know, he's preparing us to fit the wedding dress. And it's there for us to take. So he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. We're not lacking a thing. We have it all. All of the provision is there. I thank God that we can believe him for it. I thank God that it's all by grace. I thank the Lord I don't work for that. I thank God that I was born for it. Amen. I'm born Lord of all. Amen. Lord of all. I love it. I mean, it is. It's Galatians 4:1. You're born that. You're born to rule and reign. Not born to serve. You're born to reign. And take it. Thank the Lord for it. This is what this gospel is. It goes on here in verse 25. So it says blessings of heaven above. Now listen to this. Blessings of the deep. Go on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's look at what the blessings of the deep are. All right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says there, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And we would all be excited. We've talked about that many times. If it ended right there, we'd just be overwhelmed to think he loves us like that and what he's preparing and all of the excitement of what's to be. But that's not enough for him. He wants more for him. He wants more glory for him. And that's all going to come from the revelation of the knowledge of him, the knowledge of his heart. So what did he give us for that? The Holy Ghost. And here's verse 10. So even though eye has not seen and ear what God has prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And think of what he just said there. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And I love Jesus. But there's more than even this love in verse 9. There's a greater love. There's a greater expectation for those that are mature in Christ that want this. Amen? Because that right there is for them that love him. But now, but God hath revealed them unto us by the Spirit. So this is more. This is more. Praise God. For the Spirit searches all things. Yea, here we go. The deep things of God. See, he wanted to take us into that deep blessing. This is this blessing we just read of Joseph. This is the type, the metaphor. It's not even just a type. It's speaking to us. It's not just that. This is truth to us. I mean, we talk about types and shadows, but it's more than that. It really is. You understand that. This is the revelation of really the depth, the depth of what was being said there from Jacob to Joseph, which is the word of God. This wasn't just a story for Joseph. This is the word of God for us. And there was a deeper meaning, a message that was hidden. And here it is. And how is it revealed? Through Paul's gospel. Because you would never see it otherwise. You'd just say, wow, this is fantastic. You know, Joseph's going to have this and all of this. It's more than fantastic. It's yea, the deep things of God. Isn't this what I say? And it's endless. It's endless, praise his name. So, there we have, praise God, the deep things. So we got the blessings of the heavens, all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. We got the blessing of the deep thing, but what was the next one? What did it say there? It said the blessing that lieth under. Ooh. So you got a deep thing, but then you got a lieth under. Now deep is deep, but then lieth under is hidden. That's a hidden thing. And it's kind of nice we're right there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because you back up to verse 7 of what we were just being brought into. And look what Paul says he speaks, or we speak. 1 Corinthians 2, 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto what? Our glory. Now, wait a second. Did you just hear that again? Let's read that again. This is Paul saying. This is what his speak is, his conversation. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. See, this is a mystery. Yeah. And it's of kings to search out that mystery. That's the word of God. And here we are tonight, kings. Praise his name. The Holy Ghost brought us in here. And it just given us utterance and given us ears to hear what he says to the church of Philadelphia. Praise his name. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. See, this was the whole focus of God before he ever set a star in heaven, was his glory, the good pleasure of his will. His bride. And know this, that word ordained, it means an appointment, which God had an appointment before the world unto our glory. Amen. This right now tonight is part of that appointment. That's what's so incredible about it, because the appointment is Paul's gospel and growing in it and hearing in it and rejoicing in it and being together in it and thanking the Lord. Oh, what a time this is. So there you have the mystery, and it goes on to say, and we know this, and I thank God, and we just rejoice. Going over to Colossians chapter 1, So many places in Paul's epistles that he speaks of this mystery, doesn't he? This mystery that was hidden, that was revealed to him. Amen? Over and over, whether it's Romans, whether it's Philippians, whether it's Ephesians. And here in Colossians, I love how it's said here. And this is, we just limited a little bit in time. But Colossians 1, 26 and 27. Here's what Paul says. Even. The mystery which has what? Been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. And see, that's important. It's vital. He didn't say the mystery that was made and revealed now and made manifest to the world. Huh? This is something more, a mystery that is now made manifest to his saints. Read the word of God. Listen. Study. Let the Spirit speak, praise the Lord. So this now is revealed to people that know the word of God. Because in order for you to receive Paul's gospel, you had to be born again. Amen. And that is part of Paul's gospel, don't get me wrong. But I'm talking about the mystery part of the bridal message. For that bridal message to be received, you need to be a child of God. And you need to be a child of God that's filled with the Holy Ghost. Or you can't see, yea, the deep things of God by what? My spirit. See how it all just comes together? And what was that for, that mystery? It was for whose glory? Our glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's the only glory there be is him, right? Amen. So we know it's got to be him, and he tells us where he's at. He's in us. And he tells us what it's for. It's for him. So he says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. It's all me, but I made it real intimate. I love you. I put it in you. I gave you my life. And it's just like boom, 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 boom. All the lights just boom. And light upon light and light upon light. And as the Holy Ghost reveals that to you, it's a simple thing, isn't it? Praise the Lord. And without the Holy Ghost, you'll never see it. You will never see it. And you'll never love it without yielding to the Spirit. That's the truth. That's the truth. So, we thank God it's all here. We see, as the Lord continues to pull this up, this is the bride for the Lamb. Now, there's more blessing here. He's not done yet. So we got the blessing of the heaven. We got the blessing of the deep. We got the blessing that lies under. Now we have the blessing of the breasts and of the womb. Beautiful stuff here. I have to tell you, I think what a double portion, even within the double portion. It's like a double portion, another double portion within the double portion. It's manifold, isn't it? Just like fold, 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 and it just keeps unfolding as you go into the Word of God. And this is the same thing with what we have here in Joseph's life to us. Joseph, the type of Christ, Christ Jesus will receive those breasts like towers of the Shulamite. Oh, yes, he will. Let him make you blush. It's okay. Go in there, read Song of Solomon. Get yourself in there and just blush. That's okay. Because he's very descriptive about you and how he loves you. So he's going to have the breasts like towers of the Shulamite. And he's going to have her womb. And I'll tell you what, it is the most fruitful womb you could ever imagine. Because it says, even in the ages to come, the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness. Where do you think that exceeding riches and grace is going to come through? His wife. You best know that. When they get together, grace has been awesome. But then grace gets exceeding. Come on now. It's okay, you can be stunned too. So we'll just say we're stunned then tonight. But see, that's what we're talking about. But now that's what's there for him. Now here's the dual blessing for us right now. We've got the blessing of the breasts. That's grace. You know that. That's grace. We feast upon her. Amen. That's that mother grace. We thank God. And then the grace that brings out the only thing grace can bring out. You know what grace brings? Fruitfulness. You get a womb that's fruitful. Praise God. Isn't that something? That's true. So we see that's for him, and we see that's for us. And we see what's for him is what he's built in us. And how did that building happen? By the word of his grace. That's what's built us up for him. Made us this masterpiece for him. Praise God. It really is just too much. Your cup runs over, I shall not want. And I thank God how this goes. But now, it even gets more infinite in love and glory of his blessings. It's like, Lord, how could it even get any better? But we got verse 26, and then we'll close it up here tonight. So we got all those blessings. So now Jacob concludes this in verse 26. He says, the blessings of thy father have prevailed above. Now look at that. The blessings of thy father, meaning the blessings of Jacob here, me, Jacob, have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost abound of the everlasting hills. So we got the utmost abound of the everlasting hills. This is like exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Isn't that funny? I love how the Lord speaks. I love his word. It's not just good. It's like super duper, really great, amazing, beyond. He's got all of these things that just make it better and better and better and better, the manifold, amen? But it's true, the everlasting hills, they shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. So we get to that word as we start, progenitor. And I'll tell you, you know, when the word of God gives you a word like that, it means you got to go search it out, because we'd go around the room, okay, what's progenitor mean? Oh, I don't know. And I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to know tonight. But see, we know it's something good when the Lord wants us to go in and get a deeper understanding. And progenitor means where something originated or descending from. So what Jacob's saying here is that his blessing and inheritance that he was given was even greater than the blessing that was given to his father Isaac and his father, as you will, or grandfather Abraham. And you could say, well, it was because, you know, those two just had two offspring. Each one of them had two. Jacob had 12. And God multiplied it. It was just amazing. And then, obviously, Jacob receiving the name Israel. Oh, what a blessing. Oh, what a blessing. And to see the 12 tribes pop out from you, watching God do that. And especially, I think, you think about Jacob. Abraham and Isaac weren't perfect at all. We know that. But Jacob was just downright scoundrel. Let's just be honest. You know, he was a conniver. He's all these things. But you know what? It's like God blessed him the most. Amen. Isn't that sweet? I mean, that's what he's just saying. My blessing is great. It's the greatest. Yes. I had my grandpa telling me this, my dad, especially my mother. Yes. Oh, what a sweet mom, that Rachel. And I'm sorry, back there with Rebecca. And you go back to that Gentile bride study, it wasn't Isaac that was looking out for Jacob's best, it was his mother. You know it was. You're going to have that blessing, son. Let's go get it. Remind me of my mom when those kids beat me up. Okay, son, let's get in the car and go find them. What? It means something to me, never mind. All right. I think if you dig into that, you might see how kooky I am. But if Jacob's was more, I guess when we are told we got a better thing, we should believe that too. Huh? Amen. Oh, yes, amen. That is an amen. And I thank the Lord. I thank God that Jacob knew what he had. He knew what he was giving. And he thanked the Lord and he was bold about it. Isn't that beautiful? And I'll tell you what, Joseph and what he was receiving, he was bold about what he received. Remember how he started out? I got to tell you what I just saw. And I've heard so many of preachers say, well, that was just naive and ignorant of him, and it was wrong of him. Let me tell you something. You better be ready to give an answer to anybody. Now, I'm not saying that they were inquiring, but I'll tell you what, God gave him an unction to tell his family. And he sure did, didn't he? But see, that blessing, go on here in verse 26, it was a blessing above, it prevailed, so we get that now. Now get this, unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. The utmost bounds of the everlasting hill. That word bound means desire. So what we're getting here is this blessing was the utmost desire of the highest. It's the highest desire of the everlasting. Isn't that what we've been reading about and receiving tonight? That he's blessed us with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Amen. Praise God. That he blessed us with the hidden things. That he's blessed us with, yea, the deep things. Let me tell you something. That's the desire, the utmost desire of the everlasting. Praise God. See, I'm his everlasting desire because of Paul's gospel. Hallelujah. I receive this. This speaks one thing to my heart, and that's the knowledge of this gospel of the bride. This is the knowledge of his love. The knowledge that by the grace of God, he wants me to be the good pleasure of his will. That I am my beloved's and his desire is toward me. That's the highest and the utmost desire of the everlasting. That's what this is. Thank you, Jesus. But this, now, think about what we know here too. Because not only is it the utmost desire of the everlasting, it also means the utmost, the desire of the princes of old. It's the desire of the princes of old. It's the desire of the prophets. It's the desire of the sons of men. And what was that desire? Their desire was to look into these deep things. They wanted to know. That's what Paul tells us over and over. They wanted to see into these things. That was their utmost desire. But it wasn't for them. They wrote those things for us. Isn't that wonderful? So it's not only to the everlasting's desire, it's that desire of those full overcomers in the Old Testament. And think of what it says, I love that, in the gospel about those full overcomers in the Old Testament, the friends of the bridegroom. They're waiting for his voice. They're waiting for his call to his bride. Amen. I love it. They're still awaiting this revelation today. All of creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's so incredible. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. This is the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So, let's go on here. This word hills, it means worship. Worship. So this is the utmost desire as well of worship. What is the Father looking for? The true worshiper who worships him in spirit and in truth. Who's the worshiping company that we see in Revelation? It's the four living ones. Praise God. Amen. They're the worshiping company. And what does the word worship mean? To draw nigh in fervent love to kiss. Now we're right back to that kiss of the Shulamite. She wanted to give him that best kiss. Praise God. So, as we conclude here, this is the crowning of the head of Joseph. Joseph, his name means Jehovah, has added. And oh, what he's added. Amen. Think of this, what he's added with this rib portion company. Praise his name. See, as it says in Hebrews 11, without us, they are not made perfect. They're not made complete. It's an adding to, it's more. Praise God. It's just the word of God. Thank the Lord that it's Paul's gospel that connects all the dots, all the line upon line, all over the place. So, think about in this crowning of the head of Joseph, and think about how the Father loves Jesus. He loves him so much he put all things under him. He gave him a name above every name. All power, all glory to his Son. What a dad, completely full of love for his son. But then now to us, think of this. We receive this faith, the faith of the prophets and the faith from the disciples. It originated through them. But yet to us, as the word of God says, we have a better thing. We have a greater blessing to share, to have and to hold. The word of God even says a most holy faith, a most set apart place from even the brethren. And how does that happen? By faith. Faith sets you apart. It does. So, you know what? We share this greater blessing that was given to Christ. It's not good for man to live alone. My son, you're going to have a wife. It'll be the greatest of blessing. It was the abounding utmost desire from the everlasting. We just read that. Amen. So the bride, as he's offered her, will share his full glory. Joseph's crown, praise be to God, glorified together with him. She shares it all jointly. As Esther was told, honey, what's mine is yours. These are the ones by the grace of God that will take that great grace, that will take and embrace that mercy of just, I love you. You have been graced. Why can't we accept that? All throughout the word of God, God chose people out. And yet somehow we hear this message sometime and it's almost like we want to get offensive with ourselves or even with our brethren. Well, you shouldn't say that. God really wouldn't do that. He did it every time throughout the word of God. He said, I'll have grace upon whom I'll have grace. I'll have mercy upon whom I'll have mercy. And the reason he can do that, first of all, is he's God. But second of all, he's all-knowing. It's his foreknowledge. God does not waste his time. He made this known to all, but he knows who's going to receive it because he's God. Amen. He knew Abraham. He saw him. He saw Jacob. He saw Ruth. He saw Tamar. He saw these ones. Why was it them? Because God's grace chose it. Receive it. Just receive it. Receive the word of God. Not your head. Not try to. You can talk yourself out of it if you want. I'd rather live by faith. She shares it all with him. Because, you know what? Joseph took that coat. He didn't say, well, wait a second, I got 11 brothers here, Dad. You know, they're going to feel bad about it. Dad, put that coat on me, baby. Let's go. I never heard one thing about Joseph thinking about his brothers. He loved them, though, didn't he? But he had a first love. And you know what the first love was? Was the vision. Isn't he gorgeous? He put this coat on you. You're going to slide back in your goodness and say, well, I can't take this. This gospel really isn't real. He loves all of his sons the same. I know that. But I'll tell you what, you let this gospel love you and you'll be his first love. But it's all from that gospel. She will be the one who wears the crown on her head separate from the brethren. And why? Because his love for her exceeded all the other women. That's why it's called the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And for it to be yours, all you have to say is, I do, and I'll go. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Let's be dismissed. Thank you, Jesus.